We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Hey, I'm a Catholic deer hunter. I am happy to be clinging to my guns and my religion.
Pro-life Democrats, you're out there. You need to go get active in your party, and really, we need to change from the ground up.
Mary is the Mother of God in December, in Advent, and Christmas. She is also the Mother of God on Epiphany, and she's the Mother of God in February. She's the Mother of God in August, too.
Preach that cross, the scandal of the cross, trusting this is the source of our salvation. And when we do, if the church gets smaller, so be it. But in the end, that is what really, truly builds the church.
Didgeridoo players in Iowa, love Issues, etc.
You know, none of this would work if just having me sit here in a studio and talk into a microphone is only one half, if that, of the equation here at Issues, etc. It doesn't really work unless, on the other end, we have people who are listening, which we are thankful here at Issues, etc. We know we do. And our listeners let us know that they're listening to much of what we say because they respond to what they hear on Issues, etc., and they respond on a regular basis. Some of them send us emails. Some of them will leave something on the Issues, etc. comment line, or they'll contact us in some other way. We like to devote Friday afternoons to the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, and to listener email a little bit later in this first hour of Issues, Etc. here on this Friday afternoon, August the 24th, Issues, Etc. Blog of the Week. We got to come up with a better name than Blog of the Week because it's no longer Blog of the Week. It's just Issues, Etc. blog pick, probably, because we're not doing it every week. That has to do with the volume of blogs, by the way. In hour two of Issues, Etc., we're going to be talking about some media coverage of a worship service that was attended by Mitt Romney on Sunday, and a New York Times story about abstinent New Yorkers. Yes, there is such a thing. A little bit later, Pastor Bernard Eckert will be our guest from Gottesdienst. We'll talk about Bartholomew the Apostle, also known as Nathaniel. He is remembered on this day by the church, August the 24th. Then Issues, Etc., soundbite of the week. We've got four soundbites that we will play for you. All you need to do is listen and get ready to vote for Issues, Etc., soundbite of the week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at IssuesETC, and our Facebook fan page, where you can vote for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week in advance. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
How many days are we from Lord Feichner's wedding? What is that, Craig? How many days? Oh, come on.
The
it's
wedding,
gotta be in the top of your tongue. Tori, he's gotta look at a calendar. What is it?
It's a week from Sunday.
So is it? It's 9 days? 9 days away.
9 days from the wedding of the century.
That's right.
There could be a carriage. And I mean, it's like I've been privy to some of the planning a little bit. Tori just sent me the itinerary. It was like printed in gold leaf. It was amazing. It's going to make William and Katie look like nothing. The Feidinger wedding. It's going to be awesome.
I can't believe we were actually invited to such a wedding with such royalty. You know, the two of us slugs.
You kind of had to be invited because you're his boss and I'm doing the wedding, so you can't have a guy do the wedding unless...
That's true.
Unless he's
invited.
Tokens. Yeah.
Tokens. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
Collinsville royalty.
I don't know about you, Todd, but I know Jeff and Beth, they're good for a really nice gift, so...
Oh, they are.
That's, of course, that's why they made the
list.
You're getting
a gift card from us, Craig.
Did he say gift or re-gift?
Well, you... That's up to you, Jeff.
Re-gift.
That's between you and
Go
Beth.
Down in the basement in the Schwarz re-gift pile.
We don't have one of those.
We have lots of things left over from, I think, our wedding that we'd like to pass on to others.
All right, good.
You know how you get too many toasters, you get too many coffee makers, you get too many. So we just, you know, keep them and give them to other people. So it doesn't come out of the Schwarz family annual budget.
Don't people start to wonder when, you know, because you were married 15 years ago. Some of that stuff is really out of date. You give them like a black and white television or something like that? Don't they start to wonder?
That's true. That's true. We gave somebody a computer with DOS once. We never got a thank you card. Go figure.
Yeah.
Get some email?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what this is. That's what this segment is supposed to be about.
Yeah. I like talking about Craig. I'm just giddy about this wedding.
You are?
I'm excited. I love weddings. You know, I don't like the wedding services, but I do like the receptions.
And that's true. Craig, you were asking the other day about the dancing, the mothers, and who dances with who. Wait till you see Jeff and Beth cut a rug.
We have to practice. We haven't danced in a long
time. It's like since my daughter's wedding, probably.
Yeah, we danced at
your daughter's
wedding.
That's been 2 years plus.
We're going to go back to the days of you and I recounting his stories after dance class. Remember how he'd come in and tell us about what they did? And we go back to calling him Fred Astaire.
Boy, that was a long time ago, too. So, that's what I'm looking forward to. Actually, yeah. I'm just looking forward to this weekend, to tell you the truth, and then I'll worry about next weekend.
The waltz. The Roomba, is it Roomba or is that what I bought my wife, the vacuum cleaner?
It's both. Mm-hmm.
The Foxtrot?
Yeah.
It's like five of them. No, not the duck. Craig, listen to this, folks.
This is Collinsville royalty right now.
We have weekly meetings here. Craig informs us that he's disappointed because...
They're not going to do the duck goose dance
or whatever it's called.
It's called the chicken dance.
Chicken dance.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to do the electric slide, but I told him, mark my words, Craig, by the end of the evening, you will be doing the electric slide. Everyone does. It's Craig plus alcohol equals electric slide. That's simple math. It's unrefutable.
There's going to be lots of pictures on Facebook.
Hey, I got to tell you something. This is a story from, I hope I don't embarrass her, because this is a story my mom told me last night. And if she's listening right now, she's probably got her hands over her face. I'm not going to go into the details about how this happened, because I'm not altogether clear about how it happened. But my dear mother, she got bit by a skunk a couple days ago.
No.
Yes.
Way. Bit. Wait. Bit. Wait. By how do you get bit? How do you get close enough to be bit by them?
That's the mystery.
So you're trying to.
Trying to sort it out. Picture it in my mind, but somehow. Somehow she got bit by a skunk. She's okay. She's taking the rabies shots. They're not like they used to be back in Little House on the Prairie. So she's fine. She's perfectly fine. But
did she get sprayed too?
No, she did not. And I'm kind of wondering whether it would have been preferable to have been sprayed by the skunk. And so I sent her a picture last night on Facebook. You know the little skunk from Bambi?
I did see that on Facebook.
Yeah, little flower, that cute little skunk. I sent her a picture. Hope you feel better.
That makes me feel better about the picture, because I saw the picture and there wasn't much of an explanation.
It just said, I hope you feel better soon.
Yeah, and I was like, what is Wilkins sending these like girly skunk pictures on Facebook for?
We hope you're feeling better, Carolyn.
Yeah.
How about the skunk?
I don't think they ever caught it. So it's kind of a complicated story, but
wow,
she's okay. For those of you who are worried about what it might be like to get skunk bit, apparently, it's not as bad as you think, because my mom can take it. But you got to have a story like that once in your life.
That's a news story. I think she should call the local news. That is huge.
I don't think she wants to call the local news.
That's probably true.
But that's the kind of story that you can tell. I can tell my grandkids that story. Your great-grandmother, back in 12, she got skunk bit.
She was tough. I saw Craig gave you the 4-minute cue, and this first email is rather long, so I'll get to it here. Jen writes, I'm a new listener of Issues, Etc. My father and brother have been trying to get me and my other siblings to listen for some time now. Only recently have I started downloading podcasts so that I could listen during my commute. I very much appreciate the topics and the guest speakers that are featured on Issues, Etc. As a graduate of one of our fine Concordia universities, I especially miss hearing from excellent professors like Dr. Andrew Steinman now that I'm out in the field. It builds me up as a church worker to listen to your show. I am thrilled to hear him and other highly credible individuals drawing me back to the truths of Scripture, especially on critical topics of our time. Now, my other siblings have not yet given in to our dad and brother and started listening to Issues, etc. I would like to encourage them to check out some of the podcasts. However, I will not be doing that. Here is why. Both of our sisters are members of the church, hang on to your hats, that has a praise band. In fact, one sister's husband serves his church with his musical talents by playing guitar for their contemporary service. I appreciate the fact that Issues Etc. takes listener feedback. I listened to the comment line section of the show from August 17th and completely agree with Jonathan's email, and I think it was well articulated, and I was quite disappointed by the response from the producer and host. Since I drive while listening, I can't skip the unkind commercials. In reaching out to my sister, I have found that attacks and debates are a very ineffective and damaging way of communicating with her. Trust me, we are sisters. We have disagreed on many things long before the issue of what worship is, and really, unless I'm sorely mistaken, that is really the issue here, not the style and music itself. The question is, what is worship? Is it God serving us, or are we serving God with our praise? What is the purpose of a divine service? I think this is one of the biggest issues plaguing our church body today, and instead of being kind and patient and explaining everything in the kindness way, see explanation of the Eighth Commandment, both sides are very vicious in their defenses. Furthermore, it is so uncomfortable when a person makes a bold witticism that forcefully illustrates one's point, expecting support from the like-minded people he thought were listening, only to have the group drop their jaws in offense. I've been there, and I failed to win my brother over. Issues Etc. supports Christians in living a life according to God's Word. Please also be an example of Matthew 18 and teach by example and practice how to resolve conflict in a godly way. I really want to share your show with my sister, but as long as I continue to hear offensive taglines and commercials, I will do all I can to make sure my dear sister does not listen to Issues Etc. Thanks for listening, Jen, and thanks for the email.
Well, first of all, I would appreciate if she was a little more specific about which unkind commercials we're running. That's a little general. And as I've said before, I can understand how some of the taglines might be understood as offensive. They're certainly not intended that way. But honestly, the only ones who've been offended by our evangelical taglines are Lutherans. I'll say more after the break.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
What makes Christ our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received Him, who believed in His name, the Gospel of John says, He gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Welcome Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilker, responding to listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line a little bit later, Issues Etc. blog of the week. In the last half hour, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's Friday afternoon, August the 24th, responding to an email that came in before the break. Basically, the listener saying, like the show, love the show, but I'm not going to share it with my sister because some of the commercials are offensive. I'm not sure which ones she finds offensive. So, I mean, if anyone agrees, feel free to contact us and let us know which of the spots we run are offensive or the taglines. Taglines are just the little, Jeff, can you explain this just in radio terms, why we have those little 2 to 5 to 7 second taglines?
It's basically branding. I mean, it's just saying, you know, this is something about your show and it sticks with the listeners.
So, for example, we have Talk Radio for Recovering Evangelicals. Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian.
The two that deal with evangelicals are Talk Radio for Recovering Evangelicals, which seldom runs, and A Voice in the Wilderness of American Evangelicalism.
I think those are the two that actually mention evangelicals, and I think we got both of them from evangelical listeners. Both of those taglines were sent to us, suggested to us, at least in some form, were suggested to us by evangelical listeners. So, and look, that's the best consultation you could possibly get, which is why we continue to use them. And I said before the break, we've received complaints about the taglines before. When we came back after being canceled, we received complaints about the taglines like the toilet seats are always up at LPR because they thought it was a little crude, something like that. And those are some that we've when we worked for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in our previous incarnation, we regularly received complaints from our Lutheran program director about the taglines. I think one he particularly did not like was evangelical and Catholic. That's one of our taglines. He didn't like that one. I must say that in more recent times, the few that there are that we've received about the taglines, especially the ones that are supposed to be offensive to evangelicals, have come from Lutheran listeners, not from evangelical listeners. And I mentioned before, the two that we do run, A Voice in the Wilderness for American Evangelicals and Talk Radio for Recovering Evangelicals, were both suggested by evangelical listeners. They emailed us and said, hey, here's a tagline. And we thought, hey, that's great advice.
You know, we first came back in 2008, we had one that we took off. We haven't run in years. Was Never Trust a Smiling Evangelical.
Oh, we haven't, have we?
Yeah, we haven't run that one in years. And we
thought
that was a little over the top.
That one ran a little bit more because we were on 100 stations nationwide, and a lot of them were evangelical stations. And we ran that one there because we probably thought the audience out there would get that one, which most of the evangelicals did get it. And they're intended for humor. They're intended for branding to make a point. I mean, that's why they're there. They're not a huge element of the show, but they're just there to kind of subtly brand the program. Now, I would say this in response to the emailer. I don't know why you would want to deny your – I think it was – she mentioned her sister. I don't know why you would want to deny your sister the opportunity to listen to our now going on 11-part series on the historic liturgy with Pastor Will Whedon, because there's a chance she might hear something, a tagline that she doesn't agree with. I don't know why you would want to deny your sister the opportunity to listen to. We did a 2-part series on critiquing Eugene Peterson's The Message paraphrase of the Bible with Dr. Andrew Steinman, because your sister might be offended by a tagline that she hears in there. I'm sure that she can get past those things. If indeed she would find them offensive, I'm sure she can get past that. So I wouldn't hold back the vast, vast majority of the content of the program because either you or someone else or your sister may disagree with the way we describe ourselves in the tagline. Oh, Selena's on the phone. Sorry, wasn't paying attention to the screen. Hi, Selena.
That's okay. Hi, how are you today?
Doing well.
That's good. I think I have the commercial in mind that that she may have been thinking about, and it's the commercial for the church that says that there is not a garage band or a big screen in sight. And if she has members of her family that are a part of a praise band, that could be a very touchy situation. It kind of got me as not exactly the kindest way to put that. You know, I understand because I'm not really happy with the praise band situation either. But you know, I don't know if that would be what one of her problems, you know, is about.
All right, Selena, thank you very much. I'm not sure that this is the one either, but so that everybody understands what it may be, what we're all talking about, here it is.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
That's the one that we got a previous email on, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And that's Pastor Will Whedon. That's his voice. He's no longer pastor there. He's now director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, chaplain of the International Center. And I think he actually wrote and produced that. He maybe came in, we produced the thing, but I think he wrote it, if I'm not mistaken. We didn't write that one. Not to lay the blame on him, but I think it's actually a pretty smart commercial for people who have, again, those recovering evangelicals, not Lutherans, who have been dabbling in evangelicalism and still are somehow enamored with all of its flash and glitz and everything, but people who have had enough of evangelicalism and its encroachment into the historic liturgy. I thought it was a great way of saying, look, garage bands are fine in the garage. Big screens are great in the movie theater. Not in church. And if you want a church that doesn't have that, hey, here we are. But they are, by the way, one of the issues, et cetera, 300. The churches that you see, that you hear running spots on issues, et cetera, are all members of the issues, et cetera, 300.
And one of the things in defense of pastors who write these commercials, one of the things we tell them, in addition to mentioning their website and service times and things like that, what makes your church different from the other churches in a 15 to 20 mile radius? You know, you got to convey that in like 10 seconds. How are you different? So surely a Lutheran church wouldn't look like the non-denominational church down the street, right?
Well, you think they'd want to be different. You would think they want to be imitating the non-denominational church down the street. I mean, how do you stand out from the crowd if you're just trying to blend into the crowd? So I thought Pastor, at the time when he was pastor there, I thought he had a pretty good idea about how to kind of say, this is what St. Paul Lutheran in Hamel, Illinois is all about. This is what you'll see on Sunday morning. We often say that. Talk about what people will find when they go there Sunday morning. And that's how these pastors often craft their spots. Let's see what David has to say. He's calling from Kansas City.
Yeah, Todd, I was just wanting to chip in here in response to the concern over taglines, which personally, and I think I've made a few comments and emails before, that I don't really think they are actually effective, and I actually enjoy them. And especially the one that you played by Pastor Whedon, because, you know, those kind of things, I mean, they're edgy, they have a sharper edge, but they, number one, they make a point of, here's the difference between what is the true practice of Christian confessional worship and what is not. And they also give a feel of, hey, you know, this is, we can speak to any age group, whether it be boomers, busters, whatever, and so we can use this kind of language in describing who we are and who, and whose we are and who we're not. So, you know, just a positive take on the taglines.
David, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Kansas City. In California, here's Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. I'm a listener all the time, and I love Pastor Whedon's commercial or tagline or whatever you would title his. The one that I cringe when I hear it is the guy that comes on and says he's not a Christian, but he, or he's not a Lutheran, but he listens because you have interesting programs on, and he goes on to make some other comments, and then he tells us to have fun waiting for Jesus because he's not coming back. And I hate when I hear that.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you very much for listening in California. Well, get ready to cringe, Kathleen, because here it is.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's not one error in the Bible? That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
It's not the break, folks. We're just trying to play examples of what the, you know, this is nothing compared to the one that we had before. Do you remember the one that we had in our previous incarnation? Told us we were going to hell. It came from actually an evangelical listener, and we played it. We used to play it all the time. Came over to the comment line, and oh my goodness, if we still had that little piece of audio, it'd be playing in high rotation. I can guarantee you. Well, what are we trying to do there? We're not trying. Please trust me, our dear California listeners. We are not trying to make you cringe. We're trying to. To encourage people to call the Issues Etc. comment line, and we're saying, look, you can say anything you want to on the comment line. If it's fit for air, you know, we'll respond to it.
Charlie Jaco could call the Issues Etc. comment line. Local TV guy that interviewed Todd Akin, he could call it. You know, the only thing missing from that, the bad part about that comment line spot, is the guy who voiced it.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That's brutal.
Absolutely, it's terrible.
We got a better voice on that. That might be a perfect spot.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But that's something for the producer to worry about. When we come back, more of your email, more of the Issues Etc. comment line, too.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Thank you, Todd, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of Issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. Issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues, etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Recently, the Red Cross of Columbus, Ohio, set up a blood drive inside an abortion mill. So I called the Red Cross to find out why. Their spokesperson, Rodney Wilson, told me they didn't know at the time it was an abortion mill. Then he added a really shocking statement. "We would see that as irrelevant," he said. He also said they don't take a stand on abortion. But a report from the International Federation of the Red Cross, which Rodney acknowledges is one with the American Red Cross, strongly advocates for accessible abortions around the world. The Red Cross website reads, "Its purpose is to protect life, and they may not take sides in controversies of a political, religious, or ideological nature." Looks like the Red Cross is selectively enforcing its own principles.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Maybe I've tried to kind of direct my life and get all the things in place, but I'm supposed to go to God first and then He will guide me. I said, well, I've tried everything. I'll try this.
We so often downplay this as if it's something unimportant to have word and sacrament in the church, as if receiving this gospel is sort of just something we do here. No, it is who we are, and it's what makes us the church.
It's cruel and unusual punishment to give the death penalty to a rapist. They don't deserve the death penalty. And I don't think that an innocent child conceived in rape deserves the death penalty either.
We vent instead of having real conversations. Whether it's in person and on Facebook, wherever the conversation is, we need to go back and reinvestigate what it means to really talk with other people.
About an hour from now, it's your opportunity to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. There's a taste of the sound bites. We'll play all four of them in their entirety for you. Then you get to call, email, or visit our Facebook fan page, and you get to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour on this Friday afternoon, August 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Let's go back to the phone and see what Mark has to say. He's calling from his cell.
Hey, Pastor Todd. I love the angry atheist, just like I love that other guy, the angry believer. And I think what it speaks to is one, your openness to talk to these people, and also your comfort in your ability to defend the faith with the grace and help of God. So I really like that guy. So that's
Mark,
it.
Thank you very much, Mark. Nice to hear it. Look, I mean, I've said it before. There's such a thin veneer on so much Christian broadcasting. It's this kind of thin veneer of forced happiness, this thin veneer of everything's great all the time. And it comes across in not only just in the general sound of Christian broadcasting, but it comes across in the people who are on the air too. Look, Christian broadcasters are just human beings, even though they may act on the air like they're not. And one of the things I think we need to just is the very best thing you could possibly do is advice given to me very early in my radio career, even before Issues Etc., when I was just pushing buttons as a seminarian, was just because it was just, you know, abject terror at having the microphone come on and needing something to say. Just be yourself. It's the best advice I was ever given. And I got it for being in the pulpit too. Just get up there, be yourself, say what the text says. And the same is true. So the comfort really comes, Mark, from when the truth is on your side, you do not need to be afraid about what you're going to say or to regret what you have said. Does that mean that there are things I've said that I don't regret? Absolutely not. I regret a lot of things. And that's the struggle, is to try to do it in real time for 10 hours every week to realize the truth is on your side. You don't have to worry about, am I going to get stumped by a question? Am I not going to know the answer? Yeah, a lot of times I'm not going to know the answer. That's why we have guests who do know the answers. And the truth is always on our side. Next up, a comment from the Issues Etc., a comment line about faith and the fulfilling of the law.
Hello. I have heard you talk about how the first commandment requires faith. I also know that breaking any commandment is breaking the first commandment. And that therefore keeping the first commandment perfectly would be keeping the entire law. And since the first commandment requires faith, it would seem to follow then that faith is the fulfilling of the law. But the Bible is very clear. It says love is the fulfilling of the law, Romans 13:10. And out of faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Is faith the fulfilling of the law?
It's a great question. By the way, the Issues Etc. comment line number, if you want to use it anytime, questions, comments, criticism, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Well, let's start with the beginning of your question. And it's true, I have said it many times, that the first commandment requires faith. That's what does it demand? It demands faith, actually more than faith. The first commandment, as Luther rightly says, requires of us what we cannot give, what we cannot produce, what we cannot do, which is, as Luther says, fear, love, and trust in God above all things. So you see there, and I like to understand faith in terms of, well, it can be understood in terms of all three, but in this case, faith is part of what the first commandment requires. To the end of your question, is faith fulfilling the law, the fulfillment, perfect fulfillment of the law? No. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So, do you love sufficiently? No. So have you? Can you claim through your love to have fulfilled the law? No. And see, the law is either fulfilled or it isn't. Paul's quite clear. It's either perfect obedience or it's sin. So if you break the law in one point, you've broken all of it. If you fail to keep the commandment in one point, you come 1 point shy of 100%, you have broken the whole thing. That's how the law works. Faith is not the fulfillment of the law. Faith is trusting the one who has fulfilled the law perfectly. Now, in a sense, we're kind of talking theory here. What does the law demand of someone apart from Christ? Perfect obedience. But see, the law doesn't exist apart from Christ. Only in theory does it exist apart from Christ. For the Christian, all of the law's demands, whatever they are perfectly fulfilled by and in Jesus Christ himself. So faith is not, rightly speaking, the fulfillment of the law. Love is, if love is perfect, which it never is, except in Christ. Faith is trusting the one who has fulfilled the law, who has kept the law perfectly. I think that's how I'd answer your question. And again, the Issues Etc. comment line, for those of you who wish to give us a call any time of day or night with questions or comments or criticisms, 618-223-8382.
This comes from Ray in Oklahoma City. He says, I'm a devout Catholic. I listen to your programs every night. I especially enjoy and am deeply blessed by your Bible study programs. It is my deep desire that Dr. Arthur Just, when he retires, would come be my neighbor. We would sit on the back patio, share some of your Wittenberg ale, and I could listen to him expound to his heart's content. The purpose of this note is to thank you for Pastor Will Wheaton's Historic Liturgy series. It has given me a deeper appreciation for my Catholic Mass. Glory be. Thanks for listening in Oklahoma City, Ray.
Could we put that one in the category of... I'm thinking of creating a category of email and comment line things that say... Issues, etc., still preaching to the Lutheran choir, because there's a Catholic listener. What is it you always said, Jeff? What was it? There was one female listener who always said something about Dr. Arthur Just. What was that?
Said, I want him to come to my house and read me bedtime stories.
Yeah, Dr. Just is one of our listeners' favorite guests. He's a great guest. We often have him for our, usually for hymn studies nowadays, because his time is pretty precious, so we have him in for hymn studies, and he does a fantastic job. I understand your sentiment there, to sit on the porch and just have long conversations with Issues Etc. guests. I think that's the aspiration of a lot of Issues Etc. listeners. I think it is. And, you know, just more proof that we're just preaching to the Lutheran choir with our Catholic listeners who love the show.
And I encourage our Roman Catholic listeners to listen to the pure gospel here on Issues, Etc.
Yeah. I think what you're finding in Dr. Just's wisdom and why you'd like to spend so much time with him and talk with him further, you're finding that he has a thoroughly Christ-centered, cross-focused theology and approach to all of these things. And I would encourage you to keep listening. Keep listening for that same Christ-centeredness and cross-focusedness on Issues, Etc.
This comes from Rachel. It has to do with your interview earlier this week with Rebecca Kiesling on rape and abortion. She says, I have a harder time understanding the point of view of those who believe in abortion exceptions for rape and incest than those who accept abortion in all situations. The reason abortion is wrong is because it is killing a child. As tragic as rape or incest is, how does a person being raped give them the right to murder?
Well, you're quite right. And like I've often said it, smartest listeners in radio, that's as simple as it is. If a, see, the pro-choicer doesn't believe, most of them don't believe, some of them tragically do and still believe in choice, or a woman's right to choose, as they say. They don't believe that abortion takes a human life. But pro-lifers are supposed to believe that. And then they turn around and say, except in the case of rape and incest and the life of the mother. And you have to ask, wait a minute, so is it not killing a child if a woman is raped? Or is it that killing a child is justified if a woman is raped? There are only two possibilities there. One would require some sort of philosophical gymnastics I can't even imagine to say, well, if a woman is simply pregnant, then you can't abort the child because you would be taking a human life. But if the woman is pregnant by rape, then you can because it isn't taking a human life. I don't know what kind of philosophy could possibly allow you to believe both things. So it's got to be the other one, right? It's got to be somehow pro-lifers or people who call themselves pro-life somehow believing that the taking of a human life, this unborn child's life, is somehow justified by the previous crime of rape. Can you think of any place in the entire, in all of our human experience where we are justified in killing someone who's an innocent bystander for a crime they had nothing to do with? I can't. When we come back, more of the Issues Etc. comment line, your email, and in just a few minutes, Issues Etc. blog of the week. But that's not the way it feels. Operator, what could you help me place this? Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Hear us who might deceive us.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Wait! Oh, yes! Wait a minute, Mr. Postman!
Wait!
Wait! Hey, 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 Mr. Postman!
Mr. Postman!
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in this first hour of the program, in the second hour of the program. Bobby Ross Jr. will join us from GetReligion.org. We'll talk about media coverage of a worship service attended by Mitt Romney on Sunday. No surprise there, he went to a Mormon church. I don't think they call it a church. They call it something else, but he went there. And it was written about in several news outlets, including the New York Times and the Washington Post. We'll see how it was covered. Pastor Burnell Eckert joins us after that. We'll talk about Bartholomew the Apostle, also known as Nathaniel, and then Issues Etc., soundbite of the week. Jeff, I'm just telling you right now, since you can't see, my computer decided to do that thing again where it turns off, and it's slowly coming back on. So if he's been typing anything to me, Craig, I haven't been getting it for the last few minutes. But I will as soon as everything's back up and running. We're listening to your comments on the Issues Etc. comment line and your email as well. Here's a comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Herman calling to comment on the presentation by Dr. Just on the hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silent, from the Liturgy of St. James, and pointing out some considerations, especially in light of the fourth verse. At his feet, the six-winged seraph, cherubim with sleepless eye, veil their faces to the presence. As with ceaseless voice they cry, Hallelujah, 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 Lord Most High. It might be noted that in Jerusalem, as James was the pastor of the Jerusalem church and the earthly brother of Jesus, son of Joseph and Mary, that we have this emphasis here of Jesus as the true Ark of the Covenant, over whom are the seraph and cherubim. So Jesus has fulfilled the purpose of the temple that contained the Ark of the Covenant, that had the gold cherubim covering the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. So Jesus is the true living mercy seat, crucified and risen and glorified with the threefold Trinitarian Hallelujah. Also, it might be of a historical note to consider that James, the son of Joseph and Mary, is also of the house of David. Jesus fulfilled as being born of the Virgin Mary and having an earthly proxy father, Joseph, fulfill the promise God gave to David about the Redeemer who would be on his eternal throne through the line of David. So it's very interesting that we have a member of that line of earthly line of David, head of the Jerusalem church, in testimony to the divine line of David, Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all Scripture. Interesting impact posture we might consider historically in a time, the early time of the Jerusalem church, from which this hymn apparently is traced and has signs of that within the versage. Well, thank you very much.
It's he's making reference to a tremendous hour that we had recently with Dr. Arthur Just on the hymn, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. And Dr. Just pointed out that the origins of this hymn are in the so-called St. James liturgy, a liturgy that is genuinely ancient, attributed to that St. James the caller was talking about. And what I found remarkable was when he actually read the part of that liturgy, it sounded almost word for word with a little embellishment. It's actually a little more interesting than the hymn, but it sounded almost word for word that the hymn, that we have something so ancient that the church still sings, the church still prays, it's all there, and it has stood the test of 2,000 years. And you have the opportunity to sing it on Sunday morning during the course of the Lord's Supper, and it's still as true today of the Lord's Supper as it was when it was first put together. It's amazing to me. Thank you very much for the comment.
This email comes from Justin. He listens in Hazlitt, Texas, and has to do with your pastor's roundtable yesterday regarding Mark 7:31-37, Jesus heals a deaf man. Which part of this reading would be the most influential part of creating faith in people? One, that we have a gracious God who forgives us and heals the faithful from our affliction, or two, that Jesus performed a miraculous sign in front of others? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in Texas, Justin.
It's an interesting way of asking the question. I don't think we can do it that way. I'm not trying to get out of the question. I'm just trying to say I don't think we ever approach any text and say which part of the text works best for creating faith. We just, as preachers, we simply say what the text says. We expound it according to what the rest of Scripture says. We find Christ and his cross in it. This one's easy to find Christ and his cross in. I mean, I think the part wherein the preacher has the most solid foothold stepping to the event of the cross is the people exclaiming after the miracle is all said and done, he has done all things well. And that was pointed out by our pastor's roundtable, that this is not only their genuine exclamation at seeing a deaf man healed, but it's also Mark's way of signaling what Christ has come to do, ultimately, not just to heal, but to suffer and die and rise again, where he will make all things good again, where he does all things well, completely does all things well in his work for us at the cross. So I wouldn't say, here's a section of the text that works especially, that is especially effective in bringing someone to faith. We do not try to parse apart how God's work does what it does. We simply apply it in law and gospel. It's a good question, but I think the best thing to do is say, God, when and where he wills, by the Holy Spirit working through that word, does work faith when his word is spoken and rightly preached. It's time, as it is the end of the first hour on Friday, to do Issues Etc. Blog of the Week. We will have to come up with a different name for this segment, because it isn't every week. We'll just call it Issues Etc. Blog Pick. Something like that. It's our opportunity to read your blogs, and then to, just as a little way of rounding off the first hour, draw your attention to something we've read in the blogosphere that we found particularly interesting for whatever reason, and to point you there. We have a way of getting your blog to our attention. That is, go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support at the bottom of the page, find the Issues Etc. widget, put it on your blog, there are instructions there how to do it, and then let us know that your blog exists. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll start reading it, and maybe we'll pick your blog for Issues Etc. Blog of the Week. And Jeff always goes first.
My pick this week is Pastor Paul McCain's blog, Cyber Brethren. It's a blog post titled, Preach Faith into Hearts Without Mentioning Faith If You Want to Preach a Christ-Centered Sermon. Pastor McCain writes, I ran across a sermon on Jesus' famous story about the Pharisee and the tax collector, and sadly, though preached by a Lutheran pastor, it got the whole point of the story wrong. The preacher used the occasion to wax on about faith and how we must have genuine faith, real faith, living faith, repentant faith, and that's the difference between the two. That's like preaching about electricity and putting all the focus on the electrical cord instead of on the power source. Here's what C.F.W. Walther wisely noted in his magnificent book on Law and Gospel. A preacher must be able to preach a sermon on faith without ever using the term faith. It is not important that he shout the word faith into the ears of his audience, but it is necessary for him to frame his address so as to arouse in every poor sinner the desire to lay the burden of his sins at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and say to him, Thou art mine, and I am thine. Here's where Luther reveals his true greatness. He rarely appeals to his hearers to believe, but he preaches concerning the work of Christ, salvation by grace, and the riches of God's mercy in Jesus Christ in such a manner that the hearers get the impression that all they have to do is take what is being offered them and find a resting place in the lap of divine grace. My pick for Issues Etc. Blog of the Week, Cyber Brethren.
Mine comes from a blog we have often, Jeff's picked it many times, I have as well. It's a great source of good teaching. It's called Pastoral Meanderings, the Random Thoughts of a Lutheran Parish Pastor. And there's a post there for today called A Good Word or The Good Word. And he talks about having heard a sermon from a fellow Lutheran pastor and how different the perceptions of what was being preached were afterwards. One person heard all sorts of what they thought was good news, but what Pastor Peters in his blog post notes is he didn't hear any real good news. He didn't hear the good news. He ends his blog post by saying, "It often sounds as if we're narrow-minded and judgmental when we criticize such sermons, but we're only being as narrow as God is narrow, for what he has given his church to speak is what his word has called his pastors to teach, is repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Anything else may not be terrible, but it's an essential betrayal of the pastor's calling and the church's witness. We don't need good words. We need the good word that is efficacious, that is powerful enough to do what it says, and that is faithful always to accomplish God's purpose. We don't need gospel preachers. We need the gospel preached. As I have often said, if you got a sermon that has no cross, you've got a sermon that's got no gospel. Your preacher can talk about Jesus all day long. But if there's no cross in the sermon, if Jesus doesn't end up in the sermon, dead on the cross for you, it may have been good news, some good news, but it wasn't the good news. We don't need good news. We need the good news. That's my pick for this week, Pastoral Meanderings. I'll have both my pick and Jeff's pick posted at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. When we come back, it's hour 2 of Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon. Bobby Rosh Jr. of GetReligion.org will be our guest. We'll talk about some New York Times and Washington Post coverage of Mitt Romney going to church. It was a feature in the New York Times about young New Yorkers who are abstinent. And we'll see how well it was covered. Then Pastor Burnell Eckert joins us from Gottesdienst. We'll talk about Bartholomew the Apostle, who's remembered on this day by the church. You might know him as Nathaniel. Then it's time for Issues Etc., soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned for hour 2 of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Hi, this is Pastor Dan Kistler of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pacifica, California. A small congregation on the Pacific Coast just south of San Francisco, we invite you to join us as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation that He won for us on the cross and now delivers to us through His Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. For more information about us or for free downloadable sermons, visit our website at oursaviorspacifica.com. God's peace be with you always in our Savior, Jesus Christ.